Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
China moves to ease local impact from the trade war, issuing its first round of tariff exemptions.
WeWork considers major governance changes, hoping to ease concerns over its IPO.
U.S. authorities take aim at Google's biggest business with a demand for information on advertising.
It's a victory for Republicans in a special congressional election held in North Carolina. Plus, the nation is observing the 18th anniversary of 9/11. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees lost 12-11 in the bottom of the ninth inning in Detroit. The Mets beat Arizona.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And global stocks advancing this morning while U.S. stock index futures are little changed. 501 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down a point. Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures down 9. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 up 1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.72%. Yield on the two-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4% or 80 cents at $58.20 a barrel. COMEX gold is up a tenth of a percent, up $2 to $15.01.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1023 against the dollar. The yen at 107.72. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with China taking steps to ease effects from the trade war. Beijing is announcing exemptions from tariffs on U.S. imports ranging from pharmaceuticals to pesticides. What's notably missing from the list? U.S. agricultural products. We get more now from Bloomberg's Neera Chahit.
China basically releasing U.S. tariff exemptions, a list effective September 17th. The crucial line is that it doesn't list corn, soybeans and pork in that first tariff exclusion, but it does approve a tariff exemption for U.S. lubricant-based oil. The question we've got to ask ourselves is whether this really is any easing of tensions, because, look, we've been here before where we think tensions are easing and then they just get worse.
Now, this is the first round of tariff exemptions from China. The U.S. so far has announced six rounds of exclusions.
Equities in Asia got a moderate lift to the news after an earlier report had signaled the move from Beijing could be more dramatic. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Markets in Hong Kong and Japan led gains as the Global Times editor-in-chief tweeted China will announce moves to ease the negative impact of the trade war. The Nikkei 225 was higher by 1% to 21,597 points, notching up its longest streak of wins since December, while financial and property stocks lifted the Hang Seng to a six-week high. But however, investors perhaps got ahead of themselves as there was actually little reaction to the list of goods approved for tariff exemptions when they were announced by Chinese authorities later in the day. Chinese shares listed on the mainland actually fell, though some brokerage firms climbed after authorities scrapped limits on foreign investment in their capital markets. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Some M&A news to tell you about this morning. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited has made a proposal to combine with London Stock Exchange. The offer would value London Stock Exchange at more than $36 billion. Hong Kong Exchanges says the combination would redefine global capital markets for decades to come.
Back here in the U.S., Treasury yields continue to climb off their August lows. Anticipation is high for next week's Federal Reserve meeting, with markets pricing in near certainty of a rate cut. But Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman warns against policymakers going too far. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg Radio.
I've supported the latest Fed rate cut, and I suspect they'll do one or two more. But then it's time for a pause and really absorb this, because the problem with cutting is it's one of the few tools you've got. So if you give it away too easily, what do you have if we have a real problem?
And banks like Morgan Stanley have been hurt by the decline in interest rates. Just yesterday, J.P. Morgan joined Citigroup and Wells Fargo in cutting their net interest income target for the year.
On the IPO front, WeWork is now considering major changes to its governance in hopes of calming investor concerns. That's according to sources who say J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs have concerns about proceeding with an offering that could value the company as low as $15 billion. We get more from Bloomberg's Giles Turner.
The CEO and the founder has been renting back his property to WeWork. I mean, that's kind of like me freelancing on the side to Bloomberg whilst getting paid by Bloomberg. It all seems a bit puzzling. And obviously, now when they've finally gone and meet investors and try and get an understanding about the real valuation of this business, it's far from what was promised to the founders.
Any decision to proceed with an IPO rests with WeWork co-founder and CEO Adam Neuwen, who maintains voting control and has pushed hard for the offering.
U.S. authorities are taking aim at Google's biggest source of revenue, ordering the company to turn over information about its advertising business. Here are the details of Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
It's part of a probe by state's attorneys general into whether Google's practices undermine consumer choice, stifle innovation, and violate user privacy. The order is for information about past acquisitions of advertising tech companies. The state AGs also want a list of Google's top advertisers and publishers, along with data collection practices and Google's pricing models. All of this is aimed at digging deep into the black box of Google's biggest source of revenue. The company controls about 37% of digital ad spending in the U.S. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Amazon is coming under scrutiny from U.S. antitrust officials with a probe over its power in the marketplace. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
The Federal Trade Commission is interviewing small businesses to determine whether Amazon is using its market power to hurt competition. Bloomberg News has learned a team of investigators is conducting interviews with merchants about their business on Amazon. Questions include what percentage of revenue is derived from the retail giant versus other online marketplaces. The interviews indicate regulators are in the early stages of a sweeping probe to identify markets dominated by Amazon and spot practices that break the law. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Patrice, thank you. And shares of Amazon in the pre-market are down about 1%.
And in California, the state Senate passed a bill that could transform the so-called gig economy. The measure may force companies like Uber to reclassify workers as employees. It's a change that would secure labor protections for thousands of people across the state and deal a major setback to companies that use independent contractors. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you very much. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Americans are commemorating 9/11 with ceremonies, volunteering, and appeals to never forget. About 3,000 people were killed in the hijacked plane attacks on September 11, 2001. Relatives of the victims are expected at Ground Zero today in Lower Manhattan. President Trump is scheduled to join an observance at the Pentagon. Vice President Mike Pence is to speak where one of the planes went down near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Republican Dan Bishop has won a special election for an open house seat in North Carolina, averting a Democratic capture of a district the GOP has held for nearly six decades. Bishop had 50.7% to Democrat Dan McCready at 48.7%. Bishop thanked his supporters.
Tonight is a victory shared by all who believe in the promise of America.
Bishop aligned himself closely with President Trump, who campaigned for Bishop in Fayetteville on Monday. The end of John Bolton's bumpy tenure as National Security Advisor leaves one man at the helm of the Trump administration's foreign policy, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. President Trump tweeted that he had fired Bolton. Pompeo was asked about Bolton's departure.
I'll leave to the president to talk about the reasons he made the decision, but I would say this. The president's entitled to the staff that he wants. At any moment, this is a staff person who works directly for the President of the United States, and he should have people that he trusts and values and whose efforts and judgments benefit him in delivering American foreign policy.
Meanwhile, Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren was also asked about Bolton.
John Bolton never met a war he didn't like. I didn't think he should have been there to begin with, and I'm glad he's gone.
Warren made her comments while campaigning in Austin, Texas. Trump administration officials are set to meet with renewable fuel producers today as they seek to entice industry endorsements for a plan to bolster corn-based ethanol and soy-based biodiesel. We're learning that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un oversaw the test of a super-large multiple rocket launcher, according to state media. The military display came shortly after Pyongyang announced it was willing to restart nuclear talks with the U.S. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, a baseball upset. The 95-win Yankees beaten by the 100-loss Tigers. Baseball's best team lost to the worst. Detroit scored bottom of the ninth to win 12-11. Plenty of Yankee offense. They hit six home runs, two each for both Brett Gardner and D.D. Gregorius. But Aaron Boone used eight pitchers, and six of them gave up runs.
It's just struggled putting hitters away a little bit. They were able to get a lot of hits. Seemed like a lot of them came with two strikes. You know, the one inning where they got back into it early, we gave them an extra out. And then, you know, gave them an extra base where they added on another run. So just, you know, not our best game tonight.
Led 6-0 early on. Houston, who'd won its last two games by a combined 36-1, lost to Oakland 21-7. So the Yanks and Astros still tied for the best record. Mets and Diamondbacks both chasing the Cubs for the second wild card for the second straight night. The Mets with solid pitching, this time Zach Wheeler and Justin Wilson. And a night after winning 3-1, the Mets won 3-2. Todd Frazier, two doubles, drove in all three runs. And the Cubs lost in 10 innings in San Diego. The Mets are three games behind. Milwaukee's playoff hopes were dealt a blow. The Brewers' Christian Yelich, the reigning MVP, will miss the rest of the season with a knee injury. The Dodgers clinched the NL West. The Jets acquired veteran wideout Demaryius Thomas from New England. Patriots figured he wasn't needed with the signing of Antonio Brown. There's now a new chapter in the Brown saga. Just as he gets ready for his first practice with the Patriots, Brown has been accused of sexual assault by a woman who has filed the lawsuit. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashiell. Nathan?
And John, watch it. Odell Beckham is taking a stand against the NFL on his lavish wristwear. Beckham says he intends to keep wearing his Richard Mille watch, which retails for more than $200,000 on game day. The NFL says there are no rules that prohibit jewelry, but it does have a policy prohibiting hard objects. Beckham, the former Giant, says the league's made an issue out of his watch because he's Odell Beckham. S&P futures little changed right now. Dow futures up 21 points. NASDAQ futures down almost 10. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are rising in Europe and Asia while U.S. stock index futures drift after more signs emerge that China will move to lessen the trade war's repercussions. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2 points now. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures down 15. The DAX in Germany's up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.72%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.3% or 77 cents at $58.17 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.30 at $15.01.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.1027 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2357. And the yen at 107.72. And today we are looking for the producer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, it's wholesale inventories. And Micron Technology is up 1.5% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Today is the 18th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Observances will be held at Ground Zero in Manhattan, New York, at the Pentagon, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Republican Dan Bishop beat Democrat Dan McCready in a special election in North Carolina's 9th Congressional District. Bishop had 50.7% to McCready at 48.7%. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Orioles and Nationals lost. The A's beat the Astros, and this isn't a football score, 21-7. The Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks as always. 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We welcome in Dennis Gartman, economist and publisher of the Gartman Letter. Good to talk with you this morning, Dennis, as we assess the impact of this first round of tariff exemptions from China. How big a concession is this, given that it doesn't include something that on the U.S. side, at least, would be desperately wanted, an exemption for agriculture?
Well, it is disappointing that the exemption for agriculture hasn't occurred. However, the ag markets are actually responding reasonably well to the news nonetheless. Grains are trading higher after having been in an overt bear market for a long period of time, predicated upon a lack of Chinese support for the grain market. So I actually think that the markets have taken it quite well. The news has been overtly, manifestly, overwhelmingly, consistently bearish in the grains, and suddenly they're not going down. So let's applaud that for the moment. But
all right.
Would I have preferred seeing the Chinese unexempt grains? Yeah, absolutely.
Now, that's short term. Can the U.S. agriculture industry handle a lack of an exemption for tariffs long term?
No. I hope I'm clear. The answer to that is no. And unless we are going to do something egregiously expansive regarding ethanol to take care of the corn surpluses that we have, we need the Chinese to step up their purchases. We need to be able to export a great good deal more to China. So the answer to that, to your question, is an abundant no.
So there aren't any other markets that the farmers could send their product to expand their market.
The only place that you're going to be able to do that to is to ethanol, and ethanol suddenly has its own problems. There's an abundance of inventory of ethanol in the world today, without a question. So that's not going to happen. And the problem for American agriculture is that the Brazilians see every chance, every opportunity to expand their supplies of grain to the Chinese. There's a problem there, and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
So what's your outlook for commodities breadbasket if this trade war goes on for an extended period of time?
It can't be good, can it? Really, it cannot be good. I'd like to try to be bullish of the grain market, to be quite honest, but it just seems to be impossible unless something abundantly different happens, unless the United States and China suddenly become very good friends, embrace one another, and say that all of the foolishness of trade tariffs are now put behind us and we're moving towards a wonderful new future. I'm afraid that American agriculture has problems because we're so good at producing grain. We just do a remarkable job year in, year out, decade in, decade out, drought in, drought out. We produce more corn, more soybeans, more cotton, more sorghum every year than we did the year before, and that's not going to change.
A lot happening in commodities, particularly with the departure of John Bolton from the White House. Does that have an impact on crude?
It is. It's having a rather interesting impact upon crude. When you first hear the news, you think, oh, my word, there's confusion. But no, we have lost the hawk in the administration. We've lost the fellow who has been the most antagonistic towards Iran. And so suddenly you get the news becomes that without that hawk, the Iranians may be brought back into the world market again. The sanctions against them may be limited or put aside. And so crude comes under pressure. The only bullish benefit that crude has is that the contango, or the term structure, the backwardation, I should say, continues to widen. So that keeps me from being a seller of crude oil. But the news of the removal of Mr. Bolton from the administration has to be viewed as being somewhat bearish of the crude oil market.
There is still the headwind, though, of the trade war, isn't there?
Well, yeah, of course there is. That problem, it inhibits growth, and if you inhibit growth, you inhibit demand for crude oil. But those two things make it very difficult for me to be bullish of crude almost no matter what happens.
In our last minute here, I want to get your outlook on rates with the ECB decision coming up tomorrow and the Fed next week. What are your expectations?
Well, I think like everybody fairly well has this tied down. The Fed clearly is going to move to cut the overnight Fed funds rate by 25 basis points. I would like to think that the monetary authorities in Europe will at least be verbally expansionary. I'm not sure whether they'll come up with any manifestly clear decisions, but given the fact that Mr. Draghi is down to his last two meetings, he may want to set the table for Ms. Lagarde and get it out of the way. So if they do anything, they'll ease monetary policy, and clearly they'll be far more expansionary in their verbal in the verbal communications.
And just quickly, where do you see that taking already low negative interest rates in Europe?
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't it absolutely stunning where we are? But is there any likelihood that the negative rates will suddenly become positive? The answer to that is an abundant no.
Dennis Gartman, economist, publisher of the Gartman Letter. Always good getting your insights. Thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Taking a look at the markets, they're a bit of a drift ahead of the open here with S&P futures down by a point. Dow futures up by 19 points and NASDAQ futures down 10 points. Stay with us for more. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. China has announced a range of U.S. goods will get exemptions from extra tariffs put in place last year, but it's not lifting charges on major agricultural items. We get more from Bloomberg's Sharon Chen in Beijing.
Companies have been applying for the exemptions from May, and this is the first time that China has announced which ones were approved and which ones weren't. So it was interesting to see what kind of strategy China was going to employ, which kinds of goods it was going to exempt and which it was going to leave the tariffs on. And it looks as if it's going to continue putting the pressure on agricultural goods and on those items that are, you know, produced in states that are very key to Donald Trump's support.
Pharmaceuticals, lubricant oil, and pesticides are among items included in this first round of exemptions.
Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing has made a surprise offer for London Stock Exchange Group. The bid values LSE at more than $36 billion. Hong Kong Exchanges says the combination would redefine global capital markets for decades to come.
Shares of Amazon down around 1.5% as the company comes under scrutiny from U.S. antitrust officials. Federal investigators are interviewing small businesses that sell products on Amazon to determine whether the retail giant is using its market power to hurt competition.
State attorneys general investigating Google are ordering it to turn over a wide range of information about its advertising business. We get details from Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow in San Francisco.
The subpoena-like demand was issued by the office of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. It gives Google a deadline of October 9th to produce detailed explanations and documents about its sprawling system of online advertising products. That's the biggest portion of Google's revenue. The investigations focused on competition in the advertising market, but the state AGs also asked for information on how Google shares data with other companies and its tracking of users and advertisers on its Chrome web browser. That could be a signal there's interest in Google's privacy practices as well. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Bloomberg News has learned WeWork is considering major changes to its governance. That's according to sources who say it's a push to ease investor concerns ahead of its IPO.
And no fun and games for Dave & Buster's investors this morning. The stock is down 15% after the company cut its full-year revenue forecast.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures up 21, NASDAQ futures down 8, the DAX in Germany is up about 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.71%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.67%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Dan Bishop, a Republican closely aligned with President Trump, won a special election in North Carolina's 9th congressional district yesterday. Bishop defeated Democrat Dan McCready in the special election held after findings of ballot fraud last year. At his victory rally, Bishop thanked the president for his support.
We're not tired of winning. We're just getting started winning because we're seeing the successful results of President Trump's agenda.
Bishop won 50.7% to McCready at 48.7%. Questions still swirl after President Trump abruptly announced on Twitter yesterday that John Bolton is out as National Security Advisor. Bolton was the third person to hold the post in the Trump administration. 18 years after the 9/11 attacks, 40% of victims who died at the World Trade Center still haven't been formally identified. Today, ceremonies will take place in New York, the Pentagon, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, to remember the almost 3,000 victims killed in the attacks. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was visibly angry, discussing gun violence while responding to a reporter's question. After departing a forum on gun violence in Washington yesterday, a reporter asked Pelosi if she had any regrets not bringing the House back in August to address gun violence prevention legislation. She said it's Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell who hasn't acted.
People are dying because Senator McConnell hasn't acted. Why don't you go ask him if he has any regrets for all the people who died?
Meanwhile, McConnell says Republicans are willing to act, but only if the president is behind it.
They are working on coming up with a proposal that the president will sign. Until that happens, all of this is theatrics.
We're learning more details about North Korea's latest launch of projectiles into the East Sea. Bloomberg's Ji-hae Lee.
North Korea's state media said that its leader Kim Jong-un oversaw a super large multiple rocket launcher. The Korean Central News Agency reported this a day after South Korea detected two projectiles that flew for about 205 miles. The launches came hours after North Korea said it was ready to restart talks with the U.S., although it threatened to walk away if Washington did not come back with what it called a different approach. In Seoul, Ji-hae Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, every game important for the Mets right now. If they're to stay in the race to make the playoffs, they're playing Arizona, who's in the same boat, and the Mets beat the D-backs. Second straight night. It was 3-1 Monday. It was 3-2 last night. Zach Wheeler, seven strong innings, and then with a beleaguered bullpen, especially Edwin Diaz, Seth Lugo unavailable, Mickey Callaway used Justin Wilson to get the save.
I just had to. We all know the struggles that Diaz has had. Wilson has been really good. You know, I felt like at that point it was Wilson's maybe until it was tied, unless he just couldn't throw a strike to Wilmer or something. But he willed it. I'm not saying we're going to run from Diaz, that he's going to get his chances too. But tonight we called down there in the eighth and asked Wilson if he could get four outs for us, and he did.
Frazier, two-run double second inning, RBI double in the fourth. The Cubs lost in San Diego, so in that second wildcard race, the Cubs lead the Phillies by two games, the Diamondbacks by 2.5, the Mets and Brewers by 3. Milwaukee just lost its best player, Christian Yelich, to a season-ending knee injury. The Dodgers clinched their seventh straight NL West title. As for the Yankees, a surprising 12-11 loss in Detroit. Yanks had leads of 6-0, 8-6, 11-10. Tigers won in the bottom of the ninth off Chance Adams. Aaron Boone used eight pitchers, said he couldn't use Aroldis Chapman because there'd be no one left if he blew the save. In the loss, six Yankee home runs. Brett Gardner and Didi Gregorius both hit two. There's a new Jets kicker. Out is Kari Vedvik. In is Sam Ficken. And the Jets have also acquired veteran wideout Demaryius Thomas from New England. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the elements issue on why the periodic table matters more than ever. It includes a look at how mercury is tainting skin-lightening beauty creams all over the world. Vernon Silver wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Whether it's in Asia, Africa, pretty much anywhere outside of North America, this is, you know, essentially the biggest cosmetics markets at this point, in excess of $20 billion globally.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly, weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report from Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Bloomberg asked graduates from 126 business schools around the world to rate their school's alumni network, reputation, academic quality, entrepreneurship, and innovation. Stanford scored highest in four of the five questions. The only school to outscore Stanford was Chicago's Booth on the quality of its academic program. New Jersey will stop doing business with gun makers and retailers that fail to adopt policies like conducting background checks. Officials announced Tuesday the state will also seek information from banks about their relationships and policies involving gun makers and sellers. The City of New York and the State Department of Consumer and Worker Protection filed a lawsuit against Chipotle. It alleges violations of the city's Fair Work Week law, which requires predictable schedules in the fast food and retail businesses. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Disney maybe mulling a sale of the video game unit acquired from Fox.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that China has started tariff exemptions but is keeping pressure on U.S. farms.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on GE raising cash by relinquishing majority control of Baker Hughes.
I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Sterling's moves as expectation grows that Boris Johnson might find a deal with the EU.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting U.S. state attorneys general have ordered Google to turn over a wide range of information about its advertising business.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And some other stories we're watching from California. The state Senate has passed a bill that could transform the so-called gig economy. The measure may force companies like Uber to reclassify workers as employees, a change that would secure labor protections for thousands across the state. And job cuts on the way at Charles Schwab. The San Francisco-based broker-dealer will cut 600 positions. That's about 3% of its workforce. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are rising in Europe and Asia while U.S. stock index futures drift after more signs emerge that China will move to lessen the trade war's repercussions. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2 points now. Dow futures up 4. NASDAQ futures down 14. The DAX in Germany's up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds, yield 1.71%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.25% or 71 cents at $58.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.40 at $15.01.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1027 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2367 and the yen 107.70. And Amazon is down 1% in early trading on news it's being probed by U.S. antitrust officials trying to determine if the e-commerce giant is using its market power to hurt competition. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Republican Dan Bishop won a North Carolina special election for a House seat, beating Democrat Dan McCready. Bishop won 50.7% and McCready at 48.7%. Ceremonies will take place today in Manhattan, the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania on the 18th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. New England Patriots wide receiver Antonio Brown faces rape accusations by a former trainer. According to a federal lawsuit, Brittany Taylor says Brown sexually assaulted her on 3 occasions. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Orioles and Nationals lost, the A's won, the Giants won also. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager. I want to dig deeper now into one of our top stories. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing making a surprise offer for London Stock Exchange Group, a bid that would value LSE at more than $36 billion. Joining us from Hong Kong with more is Bloomberg Hong Kong Bureau Chief Fionn Lee. Fionn, thanks for being with us here. What more do we know about this offer? It did kind of come out of nowhere this morning.
Yes, indeed, Nathan. It's definitely a surprise. It's unexpected for the market. It came after market close in Hong Kong, so I think we have to wait to see tomorrow how Hong Kong market react to that. But as Charles Lee, the Hong Kong YEX chief executive, put it, they've been considering this deal for many months. He called it ambitious and far-reaching. So definitely not as hot in any ways, but still a surprise to many here.
How is it likely to be received by LSE? I mean, it's already made a bid for a data provider Refinitiv. Does that put that potentially in jeopardy?
I think LSE just came out and said they're still committed to that deal. So I think for now it should still be intact. I think the next one will be actually for this particular deal, LSE and HKEX, is really the regulatory hurdles they might have to get through, because HKEX, people might see it as part of China, and you know, there's been scrutiny on Chinese outbound investment. So I think that will be the question on the deal, and one of the many questions people might have.
Regulatory scrutiny, not just from the UK potentially, but also from any other foreign entity that does business on either of those exchanges, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, definitely. And one thing to note is Hong Kong and London are both top destinations for IPO, for listing. So there would also be implications on that. And so you talk to banks, definitely we should talk to bankers and see how they perceive the deal, how that would change the dynamics in terms of listing, in terms of fundraising. But yes, I think it's involved a lot more parties than just the UK, Hong Kong and China.
Generally, apart from this deal itself, how much influence is China seen to have on the Hong Kong exchange?
I'm not sure, but I would say HKEX itself is pretty independent. The government is a bigger shareholder. I mean, the Hong Kong government. HKEX has Connect program with China, but the board itself is independent. So I would say it's hard to tell. But I think HKEX itself is a listed company, so it has a high degree of independence.
Would the turmoil that's been happening in Hong Kong over the last several months have any impact on a potential merger like this?
We'll have to see, because definitely, as Charles Lee said, it's been a deal that they've been considering for many months. And the protest started in early June, so it looks like it hasn't really changed the dynamics of the deal. They still announced it more than three months into the protest. So I think we'll have to see how the protests pan out, and then we can tell what the implications on the deal going forward.
And obviously, HKEX has said that a deal like this would alter and dynamically change global finance for decades to come. I mean, if a merger like this were to go forward, what would the impact be on global capital markets?
So we always say London, Hong Kong are competing for IPOs and listing and fundraising. So it will be interesting to see them actually joining hands and how companies would consider whether they should go to London or Hong Kong, or should they think about dual listing, for example. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how banks and companies react to that. And one thing we should really know is it's actually probably one of the biggest Hong Kong outbound investment, because you're talking about more than $36 billion. So that would also be a question on how HKEX is going to fund the deal, and again, how banks and companies react to the news.
I will continue to follow developments and see where these merger talks go from here. That was Fionn Lee, Hong Kong Bureau Chief for Bloomberg News. Thanks again for being with us this morning. And just taking a look at LSE shares in London, they are higher by 6%, but had risen as much as 16% on word of that possible merger with Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The U.S. Soccer Federation has been hit with an antitrust lawsuit in New York federal court accusing it of conspiring with FIFA to prevent foreign teams from playing official matches in this country. Legislation that would prohibit mandatory arbitration agreements in employment, consumer, and other contracts is on its way to the House floor on Capitol Hill. And the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims has ruled the Department of Veterans Affairs must face a certified class of veterans alleging it didn't reimburse them for costs of emergency medical care at non-VA facilities.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching this morning. Raj Rajaratnam, the mastermind of what prosecutors said was one of the largest hedge fund insider trading rings in U.S. history, is out of prison almost 2 years early thanks to the 2018 First Step Act. Let's get more now from Bloomberg's June Grosso. He speaks to Wayne State University law professor Peter Henning.
Peter, Rajaratnam's case was the highest profile in insider trading in decades. I can almost see the video replaying of him going in and out of the court surrounded by cameras. How significant was his conviction?
His case was the key case because it was first. And remember, he had a very aggressive lawyer, John Dowd, who later represented President Trump. And so it was a very hard-fought case. And in fact, the jury was out. One juror got sick, so they had to bring in an alternate. The jury was out for almost 14 days. And so there was a lot of tension in that period, but it was the key conviction because it was the first one.
Also, it was the first insider trading case that was built on wiretapped telephone conversations, and that was something that was usually reserved for the mafia prosecutions before this.
Oh, certainly that was the case, mafia or the drug organizations. But under the Wiretap Act, one of the laws that can be the basis for getting a wiretap is wire fraud. And most insider trading cases will include a charge of wire fraud, and that's what let the government start listening into first conversations among some other insider traders, and then eventually they got to Raj Rajaratnam and ended up with some recordings that were, if you will, just pure gold, where information is just being exchanged back and forth, and those turned out to be really what convinced the jury that this was insider trading. Not just Rajaratnam had offered what was called the mosaic theory, that maybe I got little tidbits of information, but it was fairly easy to convince the jury that this really was just trading of inside information among his circle.
And that's Wayne State University law professor Peter Henning speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures little change this morning. Dow futures up 27. NASDAQ futures down about 4. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 1.71%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.33% or 77 cents at $58.17 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.20 to $1,500.40 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.